Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Chatting with Rabbi Mike. Well, you heard that music? That's a little change of pace today because things have changed somewhat, and the rabbis can tell you all about it. So let's go right ahead and meet Rabbi Mike. Good morning, Rabbi Mike.
Good morning, Etienne. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And how are you?
I am fine. As we say in Judaism, Chag Sameach, happy holidays. We are right in the middle of some of our most important holidays this year.
Fantastic. Well, happy holidays and all that good stuff. Great. What do we have on the agenda today?
Well, today I know that we want to talk a little bit about a couple of things that have happened and are happening here at the Hebrew congregation and in the community. But mostly our show today will focus on the upcoming holiday of Simchat Torah, S-I-M-C-H-A-T, Torah, Simchat Torah, which will happen on this Monday night, this coming Monday night. It will happen here at the Hebrew Congregation of St. Thomas at 6:30 p.m. Monday the 24th.
Okay. So I'm eager to hear what all you have to tell us, teach us, show us, let us learn. Go ahead, teach.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead,
thank
God.
You very much. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Well, right now, Etienne, we're in the middle of Sukkot, and we talked all about that last week, of the holiday of Sukkot, the harvest festival that began on Sunday night, the 16th. And right now we're on the second day of Sukkot, and Sukkot takes us until Monday the 24th, where Shmini Atzeret, which means the eighth day of Sukkot, is celebrated. And with that begins the holiday of Simchat Torah. So we have moved away from the new year. We've moved away from Yom Kippur. We are now, Jews around the world are dwelling in their sukkahs outside their houses. They are eating and drinking and enjoying themselves underneath their sukkahs. Last night, people here at the Hebrew congregation hosted a little get-together, and of course, on Sunday night, we had our kids come in and decorate the sukkah to hang plastic fruit and images of harvest festivals. It was really lovely. And so Sukkot's going great. So the last holiday of the high holiday season for a little while is Simchat Torah. After that, we've got a little bit of a break all the way up until basically Hanukkah. So this is really the last holiday of the season.
Okay.
And Shmini Atzeret, as I said, is a word that means the eighth day convocation. Now, this name, Shmini Atzeret, comes from Leviticus 23:36, that proclaims, on the eighth day you shall observe a holy convocation. So Jews in biblical times, they observed Sukkot for 7 days, and then the eighth day was Simchat Torah. So that's a combined holiday together. So Shmini Atzeret was originally a time to reflect upon the holiday that just had come from Sukkot. They had left their booths, their sukkahs, and started to get back into their daily routine. And Shmini Atzeret became special times to recite prayers about rain and agriculture, as we talked about.
Yes.
And it's a separate. It was a separate festival, but now we observe it concurrently with Simchat Torah, which we'll talk about. Simchat Torah, which means literally the rejoicing in the Torah. We are pretty happy about the Torah at Simchat Torah. And what we are doing by celebrating Simchat Torah is we are celebrating the end and the beginning of our annual Torah reading cycle. So in every synagogue around the world, each week, each Friday or Saturday, we read a portion of the Torah, of the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We read a portion in order, and each portion is called in Hebrew a parsha, and that weekly parsha is what we speak on. Now, this was adapted by our Christian friends who take a part of the Bible to speak on each week, and they speak on that as well in the same sort of cycle. There's some sort of cycle or program to say, okay, we split the readings up from one day to the next, and this is the day that we start over. So we read the very last parsha in Deuteronomy, the fifth book, and then we start over and read the very first words of the Torah in Genesis. So that's really what Simchat Torah in its most basic way is about. And I will I'll give you a little history on this. The changing of recognizing Shmini Atzeret to Simchat Torah, this happened in the 11th century. And this was a one-year cycle of Torah reading, which we do, which I was speaking about, that throughout the Jewish year, we take a weekly parsha and we read it, and eventually we start at the beginning and we end at the end. Now, this isn't always the case, and was not always the case. There is also what's called a triennial cycle, a three-year cycle of the Torah reading that was done in Israel and still is in some places, where it takes them 3 years to read the entire Torah instead of one. It was the one-year cycle that was adapted by Jews who were living outside of Israel in the Babylonian community. And in the 8th century, we started to adapt it. We started to become a little bit more commonplace to do this. And therefore, Simchat Torah came to be in terms of it's every year that we're going to rejoice in the fact that we've read the entire Torah and we're going to start all over again. So, So, one of the things that we will do here at the Hebrew Congregation of St. Thomas on that Monday night is we will open our ark and see the Torah, and we'll take out the Torah. And we'll do what's called a hakafah. That's H-A-K-A-F-A-H, hakafah, which literally means to go around, where we're going to take the Torah and walk it around the community and the congregation, and having people recognize it. And we talk about how great it is, and we sing about how great it is. And that's the first hakafah. And then we do some Torah reading. And as I said, we read the very last parsha of the Torah. And this is Deuteronomy 33. That's Deuteronomy. And the parsha is called Vizot HaBracha, which means this is the blessing. Because that's how the last parsha begins. This is the blessing from which Moses, the man of God, bade the Israelites farewell before he died. That's what this last parsha is about. It's about Moses dying before getting to the Holy Land. And so we'll read that, and then we will lift the Torah, and we'll return it back to the Ark, and we'll take out a second Torah, and we'll do a second hakafah where we take the Torah around, this other Torah, and we open it up to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. When God began to create the heaven and the earth. So we literally end, and then we start again. And that's what we will be doing. They're supposed to do seven of these, seven hakafot. Seven times where you're running, walking around with the Torah. And if you're not carrying a Torah, usually there are bright colored flags or you know, great celebration. It's a big celebration day, following around the Torah and rejoicing in the wisdom that we get from it.
Okay. Before you go any further, could you explain for the audience, please, what exactly is the Torah?
Absolutely. So the Torah, if you look at the Bible as we know it, in the Jewish Bible and then what has been changed to the Christian Bible, the first five books are the same. The first five books of the Bible, which are called the Pentateuch or the books of Moses, and the Torah consists of these, the five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and that is the Torah. The Torah for Jews is really what we read, as I said, every week. We read it in Hebrew, we read it on a scroll, and every week we chant the Hebrew and read and hear the stories of our Torah. And inside the Torah are mitzvot. They are commandments, 613 of them, in which we are supposed to follow these and how to live moral and ethical life. We follow the Torah. So the Torah is the guidebook for every Jew on how to live a ethical and moral life.
A clean life.
So it means a lot to Jewish people.
Yes.
It means a lot. Uh-huh. So it's also beautifully done, written in Hebrew by very special and people who are in employment called sofers, writers, who handwrite the Hebrew on this lambskin, this lamb parchment here, and we open it up every week and we see the beautiful scribal, you know, font, and we read it and we chant it, and it is a huge part of our lives. So Simchat Torah is a moment where the Jews can rejoice in so many years of studying the Torah and how well it has guided our lives.
Sweet. Wow, quite interesting. I'm amazed with the amount of excitement and entertainment and celebration. It looks like during the celebration, people are having a happy time. They're not church all sad, but they're having a happy time.
So it is. It's a happy time. And let me tell you,
yes,
here at the Hebrew Congregation of St. Thomas, we make it a happy time.
Great.
And I take out my guitar and we start singing. We start playing music and we start singing because we're happy about having the Torah, and we're gonna sing out about how happy we are and sing all the favorite Jewish songs that we have. It's called a song session. And you see people will take Torahs and they'll dance with them and they'll hold them up and they'll show their love for Judaism and for the Torah. It is a beautifully happy occasion. It really is. And sometimes, Etienne, I mean, they've done it here, but I don't know how often they do it here, but certainly in Israel and in other synagogues around the world, they'll take the Torahs out and they'll parade outside, let the whole community see how great the Torah is. And they'll sing and they'll dance all throughout the streets of Israel. I've had an opportunity to see one of these marches, and it's a beautiful thing. Men, women, children marching together with the Torah, singing and dancing and rejoicing in the fact that we have a gift from God, a gift of how to be good people.
Yes. Fantastic. That's what life is all about.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we'll do is, as I said, we'll read from the Torah, but we will invite members of our synagogue to be honored to come up to do what's called an aliyah, A-L-I-Y-A-H, aliyah, which literally means going up, because you go up to the bima, up to the pulpit, and they do a special blessing before the Torah reading, which means that we have, even if I'm going to be doing the Torah reading, which I probably will, we have people who will come up and do a special blessing over the Torah, so that we can also recognize people in our community. And we did this a lot over the high holidays, but so that we can recognize very loyal and dedicated congregants here in our community who come up and bless the Torah, because it was probably them or their families or whoever it is who helped sustain the place, sustain our synagogue. And so they should be able to be honored to do a blessing. So that's one of the things that we'll do.
Great.
So throughout the week, Etienne, one of the things that I'm going to have to do is go down to the synagogue and roll the Torah, roll those big rollers there, the parchment paper, to get one to the very end and one to the very beginning. And let me tell you, it's a little bit of a workout.
I'm laughing because when you said one of the things you have to do is go down to the synagogue and roll, I thought you were going to say unroll on the floor.
Thankfully, no, I'd get really sandy. But
you're not going to get that excited.
I'm not that excited about it, but I do have to roll the Torah, and it's a little bit of a workout to do that, but it's my job as the rabbi to do that.
Sure.
So I want to read for you a couple selections from our Simchat Torah service that will take place on Monday night at 6:30, and then we'll talk about music, and you can play some of that great music again.
Okay.
But here are here's some beautiful things about Simchat Torah. So on the last festival day, when Israel concludes its cycle of Torah readings, the adversary comes before God to accuse Israel, saying, "True, Israel has read the Torah, but it will not complete it. But once Israel, notwithstanding this slanderous remark, has completed the Torah, God says to the adversary, 'Behold, they have completed it.' And then the adversary replies, 'This may be so, but they will not begin it anew.' For this reason, Israel starts upon the new cycle immediately, and then God can tell the adversary, 'Look, they have already begun it once more.' Hence, the adversary cannot enter any charges against Israel. Wherefore, the day is called Simchat Torah, the rejoicing of the law." So that's a little snippet, Etienne, of a little story,
sure,
right, where God has certain angels, and one of the angels is called the adversary, whose job it is, or the adversary, the job it is to challenge God and challenge the Jewish people. And so the adversary is always saying, "Oh, they're not going to do this, they're not going to do this." But as Jews, when we do, we're able to follow God's commandments and celebrate it.
Yes. Yes, makes sense.
And
makes
if you want a little a bit of trivia here.
Okay, go ahead.
The word in Hebrew for adversary is Satan. Ha-Satan. S-A-T-A-N. Does that ring any bells to you?
Satan. Yes, it does. It does.
Yes. So the Christian understanding of Satan originated from a Jewish mystic view that there is a angel with God whose job it is to challenge a little bit, to push a little bit. Now, the Christian story went a little bit off of that narrative and created a whole new narrative about Satan and the fallen. All of that is Christian.
Yes.
But it's important that people know where things come from.
Yes.
And Satan is, in Jewish understanding, an angel. But angels, and this is really important, angels in Jewish understanding do not have free will. Angels in Jewish understanding can only do what God commands them to do.
In the Christian faith,
Right. That's a difference, right? So, so the only reason why the adversary, HaSatan, challenges God is because God wants an adversary. He wants someone. God wants someone to be,
the wake-up person,
sort of a prosecuting attorney to sort of keep God on his toes. To be, for better lack of a word, ATN, the devil's advocate. Sort of challenge things. But of course, Judaism knows no understanding of the devil in that sense. But that's just a figure of speech. So
let me jump in with two words that you brought up that my my Latin education has helped me with, and I didn't like Latin when I was taking it in high school, but it has helped me a lot in the language we speak, English language. The word adversary comes from Latin. Two words, ad, towards, to or towards, and adverse, or adverse, to turn. So when you turn to or from someone, you're doing what is known as advert, or turning against. An adversary is a person who turns against whatever it is. In this case, it would be God. And the other one, I just missed it. It was an A word. I'll come back to it in a minute. But I had to bring that up because adversary is an appropriate word because, like you said, he's turning against whatever the topic is, whatever God wants us to do. He's going to find a way to challenge us by turning us against or attempting to turn us against. Yes.
That's right. And, too many people, I think, ATN, think of this as such a malicious or evil act, but the way Judaism understands it is that it's important for us to be challenged. It's important for us to think about the things that we're doing, and so it's important to have an adversary who will say, sure, that sounds good, but have you thought about this at all? And that's what God created in the creation of the adversary. And the adversary in Jewish stories comes up from time to time. And challenges our matriarchs and patriarchs and says, what about this? What about this? And so this little story that I told you about Simchat Torah really talks about how our job as Jews is to understand what we are doing and rejoicing in the symbolism of learning and through the Torah.
Okay. Well, I'm looking
at time. We're moving right along here.
Yes. I'm looking at time. Is this a good time to go into some of that music?
Yeah, go ahead and play some of that music, and we'll talk about how important music has been.
Okay, we'll do that. Bye. Wow, he sounds very happy.
So, one of the reasons why I picked this music, Etienne, is that the Hasidics, the Orthodox, are so great at music. They're so great at bringing in so much joy. And you'll notice that there were no lyrics to the songs. They were just yai, bye, byes, and lai, lai, lai.
Aye, aye, aye.
Now this, yeah, that's right, that's right. And while there are lots of songs that we're going to sing on Simchat Torah that do have lyrics and do have song, you know, words.
Yes.
This kind of music, which is a very old style of Jewish music, is called a nigun. That's N-I-G-G-U-N. It's basically a song without words. It's just about feeling the music and feeling the dancing and the happiness.
But let me ask you a minute, real quick. Ay, ay, ay. In our Western Indian culture, ay, ay, ay is an expression we use when we're either surprised or we're frustrated or we're sad. So is there an emotional attached to that ay, ay, ay that he's singing about?
Not really.
Okay. Okay.
Well, this is all joy. This is all joy.
Okay.
So,
all joy. Okay.
But it's just about, making sounds and being happy and feeling that joy. I wanted to talk about some music that we're going to sing on Monday night for Simchat Torah. We're going to sing some songs like Am Yisrael Chai, which means the people of Israel live. And that's a beautiful song about how we're still here, how much so that despite the fact that so many people have tried to eradicate the world of Jewish people, we're still here, we're still living. There's beautiful songs that say Yivduet Hashem Besimcha, serve God with joy, things like that. There's songs about peace. Osei Shalom Bimramav Hu Yaaseh Shalom Aleinu. May the one who brings peace to the high places bring peace over all of us. That's something that we'll sing.
Yes, yes.
We also sing songs that that mimic the, or rather use the words from our ancient texts, our rabbinic texts like the Talmud. So there's a beautiful song that says, Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tsar me'od, vayikar lo lefarched klal, which means the world is a very narrow bridge. And the most important thing is to not be afraid. And that's something that came from one of the rabbis, and we're going to sing about that. We're going to sing what it means if the world is a very narrow bridge, but the important thing is just go over it and not be afraid. That's
not
how you get through life.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. But those are some of the songs that we'll sing.
Yeah.
Let
me stop you there, please.
And I know
let
that,
me stop you there.
Yeah.
Because we're just about out of time. Two last things.
Okay.
We want to close with a prayer, but we also want to announce about your trip to Israel.
Yes, thank you so much for the reminder, Etienne. So on the 30th, on October 30th, we will be leaving for Israel, for the Holy Land. We will be spending 9 days in Israel studying and touring and learning with our friends over at the Montessori Academy here in St. Thomas. So we're very, very excited about that. And when we get back, our next show, I think this is the last one before that trip. So, we have one Tuesday. So on the 25th. But when we return on the 15th of November, we'll talk all about it. We'll talk all about Israel. And the other thing that we'll talk about just before we end is that I had the honor of going to the prayer breakfast by our Congresswoman, Stacey Plaskett. And I received a very lovely award about bridging community.
Wow.
It was really quite an honor.
Yeah. Wow. Well, 30 seconds. Can you do a prayer in 30 seconds?
I can. I'll do a special blended benediction for Simchat Torah. May your eyes sparkle with the light of Torah and your ears hear the music of its words. May the space between each letter of the scrolls bring warmth to your soul. Be a blessing to all who listen to your words and see the Torah glowing on your face. Amen.
Amen to that. Amen. You did it, Mike. You did it. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. I got it.
You sure did, man. You sure did. Okay. So we'll meet again next Tuesday, and that'll be the last show before you take your trip to Israel. We'll see you then, and so long, and thanks again, Mike. Take care. All the best.
Thank you.
So long, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.